This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Good morning and welcome. So we identified the guy who's in your space guy. How about the running commentary guy when you're sitting at a graduation?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had that. Yeah.
Did you? Mm-hmm. And what's the difference between just conversation, meaning you're sitting there next to friends or family or loved ones, having a conversation? Why do you feel like when you're watching, I mean, you're there to see a thing that's happening down there. And then there's always the guy who is having the running commentary the entire time back here. Right?
That's like going to a concert or a movie and sitting next to someone who's already seen it.
Uh-huh. Right. Oh,
watch this part.
Yeah.
Get ready. What'd you think?
Yeah.
Told you, right?
Uh-huh. But none of them are more annoying than the late guy.
Absolutely.
Are you an on-time person?
I get nervous if I'm like not 10 minutes early.
Okay, so I get anxious too.
It just makes me crazy.
And so I often kind of, I get that people are busy. And I get that sometimes things are out of your control.
No, some people are just chronically late every time.
No doubt. You work with one of them. My former boss.
No.
Excuse me, Joel Fletcher?
He's early.
Oh, if he has to go from one room to the other room at the hospital, maybe. I worked with a guy for 10 years. He couldn't be on time in his life.
Funny story. Kevin Brahaney.
Yeah.
He was my boss for a year as my board chairman when I ran the Chamber of Commerce.
Okay.
And Kevin was always late, mainly because he's got to talk to everybody in a room as he's leaving. And he's the nicest guy in the world. So I started telling him.
There was a half hour.
Yeah. That was Kevin time in real time. And the mistake I made is I had him first thing in the morning one time, so he showed up and nobody else was there.
All right, that happens.
I had to pass up. It was not cool.
But like for a graduation,
you need to be on time.
So we're sitting there, and this is way more positive than negative, because I love that I feel like Saturday at 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, I was sitting in my community, and it looked like my community, and it was everybody of every stripe of everything that were there, all for the same reason, to celebrate somebody in their life. And so it was, I feel like you go to church on Sunday, we're segregated. You know, you go to it depends on just Saturday. I was in my community and I was very happy. And I was thinking like, okay, this is like three generations, of, you know, Eisenhower grads, which was really cool in this new school and this new gym, and people were here from out of town. And so I'm all for the air horns. I'm all for the, I'm not the decorum guy. I'm like, you know, celebrate, scream your ass off. All of that's good. But we're sitting there as the doors opened an hour ahead of the program starting. And what Lindsay's like, I didn't even like look at her sideways, you know, over the last couple of days. You do everything she says, when she says, how she says, right? And so we get there at like 1 o'clock. It's pouring down rain. People can't form a line. But none of this is going to dampen my spirits. I'm there to celebrate. And so we get in and we get our seats, and we're first 100 people in or whatever. We get to pick exactly where we want. We're not quite sure if they're going to walk up to the left side of the stage or the right side of the stage, trying to figure out which way to pick the seat. And we get there, and we're there, and we're there, and we're there, and we're there, and then, you know, the processional sort of starts, and they come in.
That always makes me cry.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, the music. Well, first two notes.
The first two notes just make me think of Animal House. That's all I will ever think about with that.
No!
Yeah, it is. So, because that was in my head way before I ever graduated from anything. So, we're there, and everybody's happy, and then this guy's cell phone starts ringing.
Oh, that makes me crazy.
And he doesn't do this move, like, you go, oh, sorry. You know, he answers.
We had one that had three times going off the same phone, didn't ever switch the ringer off.
No. So he answers it, and he has at least enough sense to turn and go, sorry, but then starts talking into it loudly because he's trying to tell the wife or whatever, who's way late, where they are in a gymnasium that seats 1,000 people.
Sorry, I was telling that guy, sorry.
Right.
Congratulations, by the way. And I love the picture of Lindsay and Zane looking at each other. That made me tear up.
Did it?
Yes.
It was a nice weekend.
Yes.
We had kids from Mount Zion. I saw Brandon Condrich's picture with his family. My niece graduated from Millikan on Sunday. They had their commencement. So it was a fun weekend full of promise and the future. So are you optimistic?
Absolutely. You know, you get around.
Can
some
I show you
kids.
Some mail? Are you optimistic?
Let's go back to the kids. I'm optimistic about them because they seem to have it way more together than the adults.
They absolutely do. We're going to meet a young woman today who's actually back on the show for a second time, who got the Hickory Point Bank merit scholarship of $5,000. A young woman by the name of Van Tran, who is originally from Vietnam. And I hear these stories, and I used to, when I was a kid, the Offer on Friday night, you know, the TV show about the making of The Godfather, which if you're not watching this, you are really missing out. It is that good. It's on Paramount. But there's this scene where Robert Evans has to sort of burst into the boardroom of the Gulf and Western Company, who owned Paramount at the time, and give this speech about why movies are so powerful. And it got to me. I mean, the speech was like that good. And it made me think back, like, where did I learn about all these great stories? It was like, you know, on the big screen, or my grandmother's house, who had an HBO and didn't know how to have the key to turn off the adult stuff, you know. And, you know, watching something like The Godfather about these immigrant families, or you know, where you would root for this story, and you know, looking at the Statue of Liberty, and he invokes that, you know, in this speech, and you think about where we used to sort of brag about this. I mean, this is what made America great, is all of these people in this melting pot
right.
and coming together, and even on our currency, you know, from many one, you know, that's what it means. And I sat there and I read off this young woman's accomplishments, and I thought about her being the translator for her family. You know, still to this day, parents didn't go to high school, and now she has just got this resume. Why don't we celebrate that? Why does that make some people
angry?
Well,
you are. I mean, we are celebrating this today.
But some people get angry about it.
Then I feel very sorry for them. I mean, that says it all.
It should. Anyway, we'll meet her at the top of the hour with Carla, because I think you'll be very impressed by this young lady. And I would just, for anybody who goes, yeah, whatever, I'd like to drop you in Ho Chi Minh City and see how you do in a couple of years.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. Just learn the language.
Good luck.
All right. Anyway, I am incredibly optimistic about our future. It is bright. I went from Richland's graduation a week ago, you know, to all this weekend, and I see these young kids, and I listen to these speeches, and I listen to what they're doing, and I read all this stuff, and I'm like, wow, we've got an incredibly bright future.
Absolutely. I was telling you before we went on the air that I was at the middle school meet this weekend in East Peoria, and you know, I went to see my great nephew run, but I didn't realize how many other schools from here had kids running and doing well.
Right.
I mean, it was Maroa Forsyth and Meridian and Argentina Orient. I mean, it was like, wow, oh, we can cheer for that kid or that, you know, that
fantastic.
Really. So it's a lot of fun.
All right, what's on the agenda tonight?
There isn't one.
Okay, what's on the did I not get something? I thought I got something about.
No, we're not meeting tonight.
No, you're meeting next week.
No.
Okay, when are you meeting again?
We're not meeting.
What the hell? Are you guys on pause for
it's
a month?
Nice. Oh, my gosh. Ordinarily, Brian, we meet the first and third Wednesdays.
Well, that's what I thought.
Right. And this is not the first or the third.
No, I know, but I just, what did I get from the city just on Friday?
Your water bill? I don't know. But we do usually have study sessions on the second Monday.
Oh, it was the city of Urbana. Never mind.
Oh, yeah. That's not us.
I get a lot of email.
Yeah. We are not going to have our first meeting in June because I am out of town at the U.S. Conference of Mayors.
What does that mean?
That means it's the Conference of United States Mayors. And so Lisa Gregory, who is Mayor Pro Tem, is also out of town. So having two is a lot.
Okay.
So we won't be meeting until the second. I think it's the second Monday.
Yeah. Inspiring a lot of confidence like right now, both of us.
Well, I haven't looked that far in advance.
All right. What's on the list? I mean, what are you tackling this summer?
A lot of things. We did.
14-year-old kid, right? Accused of murder.
Mm-hmm.
14-year-old kid.
Which is just unbelievable for this community. And, you know, Brian, we're just now getting into the start of summer.
I know.
And I pray for rain storms for every Friday and Saturday night through, you know, if we could just keep it nice during the day and rainy at night, it would keep people in. But we've actually got a coalition. There were several cities named around the state, I think 15 cities that were getting a lot of opportunity for funding to try and address violence issues. And so we've just started meeting, our group has, and, you know, money doesn't solve every problem, but we're looking at what we can actually do to be effective.
I don't know. It's...
I mean, we've got a lot of great people trying to do things.
Listen, we have a lot of great people doing great things.
Absolutely.
But it is...
The problem is so huge, and it's so embedded across the state, across the country. And then you add in the additional anger that came out of 2 years of pandemic.
But if you talk to law enforcement officers, which I know you do on a regular, a lot of what is happening today... there's always been, I've got a beef, or I'm offended by someone's, you know, mm-hmm. I've got to like maintain this sort of status. With social media today, I mean, the slights are so slight, yet the reverberations of a slight on social media that then causes this thing that then reverberates into that thing, which then echoes into the next thing. Many of these things all start with some stupid little small petty thing and ends up with someone dead.
And as I understand it, the gangs that we had in the 80s and 90s, okay, were a much more organized institution, if you will. And they didn't let 15-year-olds or 14-year-olds have guns because 14-year-olds and 15-year-olds are stupid.
Yeah.
And that could cause more problems. Now, they were running drugs for them. I mean, they were not doing good things. But, you know, if somebody was going to get shot, it was more of a real crisis between warring gangs. And now these are wannabes that just are... They get upset over, like you said, social media, and it starts a shooting, which sparks a retaliation, which, you know, it's just...
I don't know how... I know that it's got to be kind of... No one wants to hear the one at a time thing, but that's the way life works. I mean, you change hearts and minds, and you give people opportunities, and you let people see there's another path or another way. And that takes time, and everybody wants some overnight answer, and right. I don't know that that exists.
And we've got so many opportunities for our young people now, more than we ever have, you know, with the Jerry Dawson Institute, with the Future Farmers of America, with everything that we've got going on. And I think there's been such a disconnect for so long between the things, the opportunities that are there, and the people who don't feel like they have a chance. And so you grow up in that atmosphere, and you don't think, well, I'll never get that job. Mom and dad maybe didn't go to school.
You can have this conversation with Reverend Courtney Carson on both sides of it, and what he grew up with and what he saw and what he became and then what he turned into later in life. And he can speak to the end of the time about what both of those sides are like. Somebody's going to feed some. This Maslow's hierarchy of needs. I mean, they're at the end of the day, you know, the Marines might get you, the medical profession might get you, or gangs might get you,
right.
Whoever's feeding those needs. But there is I believe, maybe more so today than ever, the thought that life is not, I mean, like literally a social media slight can cause 4 people to die.
Well, and there used to be some lines you didn't cross, no matter who you were. You didn't go knock over an old lady to get her purse very often. And now there's, you know.
Snap. And dance.
And sing.
Sorry, I was watching George Carlin documentary last night. And he did a stand-up routine early in his career about
West Side Story,
which made me laugh. By the way, the George Carlin documentary, I got through part one last night. It's a 2-part documentary on HBO Max. It's really well done. And something that's absolutely worth watching. And was there some sort of story about him being here and hitchhiking in because the car he was in broke down? Do you recall any of this?
I got nothing. I think you dreamed that.
I did not. All right. If anybody does, I'd love confirmation.
I have no idea. I don't know that story at all.
He was playing at the Civic Center or Millikan? Maybe Millikan. Does that sound right?
Millikan would be more right, I would think, than the Civic Center, but... Brian, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, it's not like you did we're in the news before you.
Well, but I mean, I remember when the elephants got loose and were running through downtown Decatur. I was a kid in Mattoon at the time, but.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, there was a circus in town and the elephants got
spooked. Did you make that up or did you dream
that? No, that is absolutely true.
I remember when the hot air balloon took off from the Decatur celebration and landed like in somebody's field.
Yeah, way out east someplace.
Yeah. What else do you remember? I don't remember anything because I'm just inundated with political messaging.
Aren't there panthers loose in town?
Panthers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like how you guys are like, all of yours. Me, nope, that didn't happen.
Well, I remember when the Bears were
in the cage,
set free at
Fairview Park. Uh-huh. Crazy. We do get better as people. Sometimes you need some historical perspective because you go, I can't believe we thought that was okay then.
Yeah, that was not okay.
And it was for years. Mm-hmm. You drive through Fairview Park and go see the Bears. And it, what seemed to be, in my memory, a tiny cage.
Oh, yeah. It was not very big. It was not a happy place for those Bears.
No, can you imagine, though? I mean, at that time, someone thought, you know, hey, the people will love this. And they did.
That was pre-Scoville Zoo, wasn't it?
Well, Scoville Zoo, you know, wasn't Scoville Zoo, right, as we remembered. It was, chickens and goats, right? And, I mean, that was not all that long ago in the grander scheme of things before it became, sort of a full-fledged zoo. Tell me about quality of life since you brought up the zoo. We've got the Davin Open done Friday night with Here Come the Mummies. We had our graduation party, so we weren't able to attend. I know the Jersey Tenors got – it was a combination of rain and flight cancellations. It was a logistical nightmare. This I'm going to get on a plane and get somewhere in a day thing. Mm-hmm. You better rethink because
you better have a day on other end.
Yes. So it's open. Splash Cove will be opening this coming weekend, which is Memorial Day weekend. You've got the zoo. We were just out there taking a look around the Children's Museum. When you look at like everything sort of opening up for the first time, really, since 2020, or actually maybe 2019 for some of this stuff, and opening in a real way, there's a lot of optimism too, right? I mean, it's not all downsides and negatives.
Well, let me tell you, I interviewed a candidate for the library board about a week ago. He's originally from Texas, young executive in town. And he walked in giving me a sales pitch on Decatur on how great it was, the cost of living. He goes, I can't believe you can buy a house on the lake in this community. You've got all the things going on at the amphitheater. I'm like, could we?
Council member?
Well, let me tell you. But I mean, I was absolutely blown away by this young man. And, it was like, this is what, it's all about, because you want to be someplace where you're happy.
Well, here's what I and this is going to sound very Homer-ish, but it really isn't, because I'll be on a call today at 10 o'clock with our folks in Lafayette and our folks in Bloomington Normal and our folks in Springfield and our folks in Danville and our, we're in all of these central Illinois and Indiana communities that are all similar in size and scope. And I feel like we are well positioned to win a battle of where people choose to live, not necessarily work, but live. Mm-hmm. And you think about economic development and how it used to be those communities were arguing with each other. Now it's like, no, we got to sell the region. So if I come to Central Illinois from New Jersey or Texas or wherever, I don't know Decatur from Bloomington, from Springfield. I mean, it's Central Illinois, right? And I get a job at Rivian in Bloomington, but I choose to go, where can I buy my house and get the biggest bang? And what is there to do with my kids and my family? And what about the school choices and all of this? We are so more well situated than these other areas. And I know people think that's me just being a homer, but
no,
I'm telling you, we are.
You are absolutely right. I mean, we've got easy access to most of Central Illinois. It's not that hard to drive.
I can get on the road and be in Bloomington in 40 minutes.
And if you want to work here, we've got 1,800 jobs available.
I'm not saying it's one way or the other, but right. It's all of those things. But if I want to buy a house, there is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I'm going to get way more bang for my buck here.
Oh, you bet.
Than I am. I'm not even going to be able to buy anything in Bloomington.
Right. When we were going on our way to Peoria this weekend, it was like, that's a whole new neighborhood in the Bloomington area. I mean, there aren't houses to buy. They're gone. So we welcome those people.
Yeah, but then when I want to spend my weekend, I feel like we are well positioned to take advantage of that sort of regional economic development as far as making home base here.
And I really think Nicole and her counterparts are doing a really great job of seeing and working that big picture for the benefit of downstate Illinois.
All right. Did you watch any of the PGA Championship this weekend?
No.
Okay. I was going to be disappointed if you did. Have you met any of the politicians that are running for office?
I met Jesse Sullivan when he was in town.
And what did you think? I'm not asking who you're voting for. What did you think?
Very nice young man. Mm-hmm. Extremely conservative. I mean, he and Kevin just absolutely clicked, in a big way. Irish Catholics, from big families. And You see somebody young, you get hopeful about people being in public, and, you know, because he doesn't seem to come with a lot of, you know, starting from the ground level and becoming a career politician, this board, that, you know, working way up. And by the same token, so maybe you're not tainted, but how do you get stuff done? I mean, Bruce Rauner had trouble, you know, getting anything done.
Yeah.
He was a businessman who went in with the business. I'm going to run the state like a business. And couldn't do it because Madigan played a better game of chess and knew how to beat him on every turn. So that makes it hard. But nice young man.
Okay. It will be interesting to see to me. I mean, I look at these like chess pieces on the board and I don't get emotional about it. And people get, you know, so emotionally attached to one thing or another. I don't know. I mean, Richard Irvin seems quite frankly just crazy at this point, you know, just based on the stuff. And I'm sure he's not. I'm sure, you know, other people manipulating, you know, campaign dollars.
Well, he's sticking to the talking points.
It's annoying as hell. And I don't know. I can't imagine voting for him, but I don't know. But I look at Darren Bailey and I look at Jesse Sullivan, and I don't think either one of them are electable statewide. It is such a different thing. You know, you can run in the 13th or 15th congressional district as one thing. You can run as, but statewide, it is a whole different ballgame.
Well, and Jesse Sullivan was talking about that on Friday, and he feels like he's got a much better chance in the collar counties than...
And this mailer right here is exactly the reason why he won't have a chance in the collar counties. And that's, it's entitled to his opinion and his belief.
He is, and he said he was... You know, kind of coached not to be so upfront with his beliefs, and he's very strongly pro-life, and he has a TV commercial running about it right now. And the mailer is the same.
The mailer just, you know, I respect one simple headline: overturn Roe. What that will cost him, and I believe not cost him spiritually or what he believes in, but politically, what that cost him in the collar counties and with the female vote in the state of Illinois, you can't overcome that.
You can't, but I do respect his honesty. Which you don't see every
Richard
day.
Irvin, I don't Richard have Irvin any idea what he believes
he
in.
He won't even tell you if he voted for Trump.
Yeah. So,
you know, his stock answer is, well, I always vote Republican.
Yeah.
Well, did you vote for Trump?
Have you met Dan DeBolt?
Who's that?
I got this piece of direct mail, Ed, and this is so funny because
which one is he?
I think he's the guy in the chair.
Okay.
State Senate District 54, right? We started hearing these ads on the radio, Nick and I did maybe 3-4 weeks ago, for Steve McClure, who is a Springfield Republican, and Donald DeBolt is a Republican of Stewardson, and that is the race. So evidently, I live in Senate District 54, or else they're really screwed up their direct
maybe
mail campaign.
Maybe they're as confused as I am.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know where the lines are.
So these two guys, one of them is running radio ads, the other one sent this direct mail. I've never heard of them, met them, wouldn't know them if they walked.
I've never heard the name.
Yeah.
Huh.
What's your next state senator? One of the two.
One of the 16?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm telling you, this isn't great.
No. And we've got it for 10 years.
Julie Moore, we appreciate you.
I appreciate you too. And congratulations to you and Lindsay and Zane, and, you know, on to the next chapter.
On to the next chapter. That's a very good segue. The mayor of Decatur, ladies and gentlemen.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.